Welcome to the Real Refreshment Podcast. Join us as we dive into motherhood at the foot of the throne with your host, Rachel Carmen. If you are tired, overwhelmed, and feeling alone, this is the place for you. A place for real moms with real stories, seeking real refreshment found only in the living God. You can visit rachelcarmen.com to join her online community of moms who are taking the dare to be in the Word themselves as a top priority in the journey of motherhood. While you're there, be sure to sign up for updates, and you will also receive a free gift from Rachel when you sign up. All right, let's kick off this latest episode of the Real Refreshment Podcast. Here's your host, Rachel Carmen.
Hey there, moms. Rachel Carmen here. So glad to be with you again today. And we are tackling a third installment of our series, When I Got Back, from being sort of broadsided by some life circumstances and took a break that I did not expect. And so I felt like it needed a little bit more explanation than just, hey, I'm back. So we've taken the two previous episodes and this one today to sort of lean into that, tell you a little bit about that story. I wanted to share with you what God has been teaching me. And then today we are going to look at what does it look like to go forward? In other words, not stay stuck, right? But to actually go forward when you have been broadsided by life circumstances that you didn't choose, you didn't like, and you couldn't change, but it is what it is. And so how do we go forward? And so I'm hoping that through doing these three episodes with you, that we can all get a little closer, a better perspective, that we can again realize our need for each other, but more than that, our need for God, right? That we can point each other to God, that we can lean into each other and to God as we're on this life journey. I want to make sure that we are keeping it real here, that we are being authentic with each other. This journey that we're on as moms with our children in advance of the kingdom is not always easy. There are glorious moments and we need to celebrate those. But the reality is we have an enemy and he is working all the time to discourage us. And so in those moments of discouragement, whether they're minor or they're major, we need to know, how does it look for us to go forward? So I wanted to talk first about how do we get here, right? How do we get to these places that are so completely overwhelming, that trigger our exhaustion, that make us feel lonely? I mean, surely, if you're like I am, you get in these places and you are just sure no one else has ever been in a place like this before. No one would understand, right? Those are all of the lies that the enemy wants to convince us of, that we're alone for a reason because no one would get it. And who could we tell and how could we share? And would it completely take away from any future relationship we could have with anybody, right? And nobody could help us carry this. No one would ever know what to do. And no one would ever like me again if they knew, right? All of these feelings, all of these lies come rushing in the midst of these circumstances. And, you know, how did we get here? We're not even sure. How do we explain this to someone? We don't even know. Where do we begin? How do we start, right? All of that is the swirl. Well, I mentioned it last time that as we find ourselves in these circumstances, we are in really good company with most everyone who is included in the biblical narrative. I remember, it's been a long time ago now, but I remember at one point in my study of God's Word, I thought, you know, it would have been really cool to have been included, my story to be included in the biblical narrative. But you know what? You don't have to keep studying the biblical narrative for too long to realize that, yeah, no, you're very probably really happy like I am not to have my name in the Bible, because my goodness, you talk about everybody's dirty laundry hung out to dry. I mean, it's really raw. The Bible is really raw. It is filled with the true life stories of men and women just like you and me, who were completely imperfect, but who sought, many of them, to serve a perfect God, who is the great Redeemer. And in spite of all of their blunders and mess-ups and rebellion, he proved faithful over and over and over again. But I did want to go through and just remind you some of the people who found their lives wrecked, who felt like they were broadsided. They found themselves in those circumstances for a variety of different reasons, right? So the first one is probably the one most of us would run to, and that's the story of Job. Job was absolutely devastated. And I'm here to tell you, none of us should ever, ever, ever again whine about having a bad day. Job gets the corner on the bad day market. No one else in the history of the world has ever had a bad day that would surpass the bad day that Job had. It was the worst by a long shot. Everything he has is lost, utterly and completely lost, including all 10 of his children, all of his reputation, all of his worldly goods, all of his family, totally gone in just a matter of moments. And why? Why? Who instigated it? Go back and read the beginning of the book of Job. The enemy, Satan, comes into the counsel of God, and God actually points out the goodness and the faithfulness of Job to the enemy. And the enemy, Satan, scoffs. He goes, well, good grief, of course he's good. You've blessed him. You blessed him. I mean, look at how everything's going great for him. He's got 10 kids. He's got all these camels, all these sheep. He's got all these, I mean, he's got everything going for him. Of course his life is great, right? Job was devastated and lost everything, everything. And it is worth remembering, what was Job's response, right, when everything was gone? I'm here to tell you, it's notable, it's commendable, it's overwhelming. And lest we give him more credit, I think he didn't know what else to say. And I think what we see in Job's response, which was, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I think what we hear in those words from Job are a man that was so core to what he believed to be true, there was nothing else to be said. He so centrally believed that the name of the Lord was to be blessed no matter what, that when all was lost, that's all he had to say. Wow. So we see a picture of Job. You know, how did he get here? He was devastated. Everything was gone. Joseph was sold into his really bad day. By who? His brothers. His brothers sold him. And in a series of events that would rival Job's bad day, right? I mean, Joseph is sold by his brothers into the house of Potiphar. He then is blessed, and Potiphar's house is blessed because of Joseph's presence in the house. And then his boss's, Potiphar's wife, tries to seduce him, and he does the right thing. Note that Joseph did the right thing. In the face of seduction, which probably he could have gotten away with, right? Because nobody else was in the house. She had arranged this to be successful on her part, seducing Joseph. And yet he did not pause. He didn't think about it. He didn't give it a second look or a second consideration. He didn't try to negotiate with her. He fled the scene, and in such urgency that he left his coat in her hand. He was like, man, I got to get out of here, and I got to get out of here now. And as a result of having done the right thing, remember that. You see, sometimes we end up in a place we didn't want to be, not because we did the wrong thing, but because we did the right thing. Because we did the right thing. Conviction costs, and we see that in the life of Joseph. Joseph ended up in a rough spot, having been sold by his brothers having fled the scene of seduction, right? And he ends up in prison. And yet God blesses him again in prison, and he rises up to the ranks in prison, and he has the baker and the cupbearer come, right? Remember this? And they have dreams. And Joseph is able to rightly interpret their dreams, and the only thing he asks is that they would remember him, and they forget, right? I mean, you see this play out in the life of Joseph. How did he get here? And yet, I'm going to, spoiler alert, he gets to the end of his life, and one of the original dreams that he had had when he was a young lad comes true in that his brothers come and bow at his feet in the midst of a famine because they need what only Joseph has, and that is access to grain, right? And Joseph realizes, oh my goodness, you did this. You did the unthinkable. You sold me, but God. And that's the theme we're going to see here. We have Daniel. How did Daniel end up in exile? It was because of God's judgment on his people. And yet, we see Daniel being the antithesis of what God judged his people and the reason for which his people were sent into exile. We see in the young man of Daniel. Daniel 1:8 says that Daniel resolved. We see in this young man behavior that would have stayed the exile. The exile would have been unnecessary had all of God's people behaved as faithfully and with the resolve that Daniel exhibited throughout his ministry in the palace. Esther. How did Esther get here? How did she end up in a position where she could speak up, risking her life? How did she end up there? She was elevated there. It was God's will for her to be there. She was chosen to be there. As we get the verse in the book of Esther, who knows, but you were put in this position, what? For such a time as this. Look, some of us get into these places that are so rough and so tough and so hard and so painful, and we miss the probability, not just the possibility, but the probability that this could be our moment, that this might be for such a time as this, right? That this could change everything. All of this pain, all of this loss, all of this wounding, this could be that. And we see that in Esther. And what about Mary? How did Mary get into the situation that she got into, right? A controversial situation, right? The angel of the Lord comes to Mary and invites her to be a part of what God is going to do to save all of mankind. He extends to her an invitation to be the mother of the Son of God. And she asked a question. She had a really good question. She's like, how's this going to work? I'm betrothed. I'm not married. So what are you saying? How's this going to work? And the angel explains that the shadow of the Almighty will overshadow her, right? And she will become pregnant with the Son of God. And what is Mary's response? May it be unto me according to your word. And yet, right? Mary didn't get what she was signing up for. I'm going to suggest to you she didn't. And in future podcasts, we're going to discuss that more in depth. But here's the deal. You and I are extended an invitation to follow God, to trust God, to obey God. And many of us in beautiful childlike innocence have determined that, yes, we're going to do that. We are going to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have determined to go his way, right? And we didn't know what we were signing up for. And we end up in moments like this where we've been broadsided by life, where we've been criticized, or we've been kicked to the curb, been dragged behind the bus. Characterize it however you want to. We find ourselves marginalized, discriminated against, hurt, wounded, all of it, right? And we got here having done the right thing, having followed Jesus, having stepped out faithfully to do what he was asking us to do. Like Mary, we end up here because we did the right thing. And then I would suggest, I mean, this is not an exhaustive list, and I would encourage you to go through the Bible and see who else you find. We have the woman caught in adultery. She ended up in the middle, center court, it says in John 8. Center court. She was there, vulnerable, exposed, because she got caught. Sometimes life circumstance happened to us because we got caught. We were doing something we should not have been doing, and we got caught. And that's why we're in the circumstances we're in. And then there's the example of David. David ends up in this really lousy circumstance that he spends about a year denying. After, frankly, he made a sinful choice. He was loitering on the palace roof. He sees a woman. He sends for her. He takes her. He takes advantage of her. She gets pregnant, and then he spends about a year trying to cover it up. And he finds himself in a mess because of sinful choices he made. And the reality is, sometimes our lives end up in shambles and a mess because of willful, reckless, sinful choices that we make. And by the way, when we do that, we're not the only ones that pay. There are other people who pay a really high price for our rebellion. But there's a variety of ways. That's what I wanted to make clear. And it's worth our time to analyze, how did we get here? Because we've got to own our part of it, right? How did we get here? There's no use, by the way, in puffing ourselves up with pride when we get totally innocently broadsided. That is of no use. We are here, and it is still important for us to seek God. What is it that you want me to learn? What do you want to teach me right here, right now? What is it? Because I don't want to miss it. And if you want to experience answered prayer, when you seek God like that with a broken and a contrite heart, when you are asking him, Father, teach me, show me, make me, mold me, those are prayers that he answers every single time. So as the dust settles in your circumstance at your intersection, as the shoes continue or finish falling, as everyone starts to cool off and the smoke clears, you need to remember that if the enemy cannot just take you down simply in the initial attack, he will endeavor to take advantage of you in your ensuing weakness. So sometimes, you know, we get broadsided and that's it. I mean, we're just done. We're, you know, the enemy hits us, life hits us hard, and we just walk away. We just like, okay, we're done. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this faith thing. This is all just it's all a myth. It's all a wash. I'm done. And we walk away. But if we don't, if we dare to get out of the vehicle, right, to assess the damage, to triage the wounded, and to intentionally decide to go forward, we need to acknowledge that we are in a weakened state and the enemy is not satisfied. Remember, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he will continue to attack us. So we need to make sure that we acknowledge the temptation. In the aftermath of a chaotic intersection in our life, whether it's what I described in the first episode in the series of having to move, where we're just feeling unsettled, where is home, where's my address, where's my mixer, right, where's my spoons, when everything just seems to be a jumble, or perhaps it's in unemployment, like I described that we walk through, where, you know, you don't know where your income's coming from, or if you're insured, or maybe it's a health crisis. Whatever it is, we need to acknowledge the temptation to give up and to quit. It's a very, very real temptation. And I'm going to be honest, in the midst of all of this, very, very really tempted to just say, okay, what? Never mind. I give up. It's not worth the fight. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm alone. No one will understand. I'm only going to be criticized, right? It's easy to surrender to the enemy's plot and to disengage. But I'm going to suggest to you today, that is not God's will. God's will is that we would continue on, not that we would give up or let the enemy take us out. but that we would continue on. And that's what I want to talk about. I've got 5 points that I want to talk about, and they all start with the letter F, because I wanted us to try to remember these. You might want to jot these down, but today I want to talk to you what it looks like for us here at Real Refreshment to go forward. First of all, and it's not lost on me, when I launched this and when I launched my ministry guiding mission, right, I talked about Colossians 3, 1 through 3, focus up. And I'm going to tell you, I believe our first step in going forward is that we refocus. We've got to focus up. We've got to lift our eyes up above the chaos and the confusion, above the wreckage, above the rubble, and we've got to set our eyes on things above, set our hearts on things above. This world is not our home. We are here but for a moment. And we've got to make sure we are focused up. That is where we're going to be able to see clearly as we look up. We've got to look up. I love the verse that says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Look, it is really easy for us to get distracted, like the children of Israel did in Numbers 14, when those 12 spies came back and 10 of them said, oh yeah, the land is exactly what God said it is. It is. He said it was flowing with milk and honey. And you know what? It is. But there are giants and there are tall walls. And yet Caleb and Joshua said, no, 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 no. We're not going to focus on the giants and the big walls because our God is bigger and we need to go in and take it. And the people wouldn't listen. See, Joshua and Caleb's eyes were focused on God, whereas the other 10 spies were distracted by the giants. You and I have got to focus up. Number two, we have got to keep fighting. We are in a battle, and the battle is the Lord's, and we are commanded in Ephesians 6 to suit up in our Holy Ghost super threads. I love that phrase. I think it was Carmen that used to sing about that. We've got to make sure that we are suited up and ready for this battle, that we are engaged against the enemy, shoulder to shoulder, not moms, not against each other. No, no, no. That does not honor God. We have an enemy and it's not each other. We need to make sure that we are fighting shoulder to shoulder beside each other. And how? Number three, that we are fighting faithfully, that we are determined, that we are resolved, that we have decided, that we have decided that we are going to faithfully continue on, and we are going to fight this together. Number four, we are going forward. I don't know about you, but when I've been at some of these difficult, challenging intersections of life, it is so easy. It would be so, so easy. And I can confess, not a little tempting to just get stuck, to just allow myself to get stuck. It's a lot harder to get up and move forward after you've fallen down or been knocked down. It's really easy to just settle in to the miry pit of self-pity. And yet that does not honor God. We are going to go forward, onward and upward. Now, sometimes we have to go back to go forward. I love what C.S. Lewis says, is sometimes you find yourself on the wrong path, right? And if you're on the wrong path, it's foolish to just keep going forward because you're going to end up in the wrong place. Real progress, when you find yourself on the wrong path, means that you go back and get on the right path, right? So if you and I find ourselves on the wrong path, let's have the courage to go back and get on the right path. But once we're on the right path, let's make sure that we are progressing forward, that we're advancing the kingdom, our own journey towards the throne of God, and taking our husbands and our children with us and anybody else that we can bring with us. And finally, number five, that we are following the King. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever would come after me, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And this is what it looks like to follow him, that we deny ourselves. We deny ourselves. That we remember that this is not about us. It is about him and his glory. That we take up our cross, whatever that means, whatever we've been called to take up, whatever role we've been called to take up, whatever responsibilities, that we take them up with joy, and that finally we follow him. So just review those. We're going to focus. We're going to suit up and fight. We're going to be faithful. We're going to move forward, and we're going to follow Jesus. And I'm looking forward to this journey with you. We'll talk again next time.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you are listening. And while you are there, can you leave us a rating or a review? This just helps us to get the message out to other moms that need to be encouraged in their roles as mothers today. If you have a question, we invite you to send it to rachelcarman.com/podcast. And while you're there, you can access Rachel's wonderful resources and Real Refreshment, the online community. Moms, more than ever, we really do need each other. We need to be challenged, and we need accountability in the Word. I hope you will join us, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the Real Refreshment Podcast.
I'm Don Hawkins, inviting you to be encouraged with my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You. To subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.